Life Audio.
Today on Talk About That, John deconstructs cable television and wonders who mailed his mother a SpongeBob tumbler. Meanwhile, I get indignant at the dentist and tell John the story of the time NASA launched pictures of naked people into space. Plus, a conversation about learning from history and finding a balance between being honest about our shared past and maintaining a grace mindset. Today's episode is not sponsored by The Cloud. All your photos are up here and you don't even remotely understand it. But first, a word from our actual sponsor.
Hello, folks. My name is Derek Greer, and I'm reaching out to fellow pastors and church leaders just like you to join me and other Christian leaders and organizations throughout the nation as we come together on June 8th and 9th for National Unity Weekend. Together, we will show the love of Jesus as we serve our communities on Saturday, June 8th, and then preach from a shared text on Sunday, June 9th. To register, go to unityweekend.com. That's unityweekend.com to join us as we unite the church and unite the nation.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-497-4410. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-497-4410. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-497-4410.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
Fasten your seatbelts, Johnny. It is the 250th episode of Talk About That. It's a day to celebrate, a day that shall live in infamy. Wait.
I don't like that.
I don't think you like the infamy part.
Big banner behind us says mission accomplished. There's a lot of
those. We were going to rent an aircraft carrier, but...
There's a lot of those memes out there. So speaking of safety belts, I can't remember where I saw this, but it was a video on TikTok or Facebook or something the other day. And it was from the 80s, and it was a news team interviewing these people about the DUI laws. Drinking and driving was being outlawed, and safety belts, basically, around that same time, were being put into play. Like, as
when
far as
this?
Like the 80s, early 80s, yeah. I guess. It's what it said. And because you had the big hair, right. And of course, they were Southern people, which did not. You know, it lent itself to like, oh my gosh, what are we doing, people? And I guess the clip was to show like these things that we think are so crazy and we're like, government overreach. But like, if you look back like 30 years, you go, well, clearly we needed to make people wear safety belts.
Right. What do you mean they can't drink and drive?
And I'm telling you, I need to just find the clip because it was amazing. She was just like, you want to get, and then she goes, one guy goes, you want to leave your job, have a couple of beers in your truck. Like, I don't see why that has anything to do with the... And then one lady's screaming about it, and she goes, they did this with seatbelts, and now they're blah, blah, blah. And then there's a baby in her car. Wow. She's talking to the camera, and there's like a two-year-old in the seat, in the front seat next to her. Yeah. And I'm like, wow.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, you and I are of the generation that we did... I will say this. We had better ride in the car than kids today, because
we were up walking around in the back seat.
I'd be in the floorboard.
Yeah.
I'd be in the back windowsill.
Having a beer, evidently.
By the way, I was going to try to say the Latin name for 250th.
Oh.
That's why you heard me try to...
Oh, you were trying
it's
to...
It's like...
Veritas.
Ducenti.
Okay.
Quinquaginta.
I don't think Quinquaginta is right.
Guess what is this?
That's not
King,
Latin.
Quinquaginta. It's like...
That's Chinese, John. That's not Latin.
I'm telling you, I don't speak Latin. Obviously, and if you want to do your joke, you're
I'm not doing it. I'm not going to say.
Johnny's going to joke about speaking Latin, and it's really funny.
I don't speak Latin per se. Anyway,
just those two words,
King Quaginta.
But it turns out that it was not going to work. I'd be like, and welcome to the King Quaginta episode of. It was just like, yeah, and I'm sure the Latin pronunciation is better than that. I'm just telling you, I'm looking at it phonetically.
Yeah,
that's what it looks like.
Yeah.
So,
and I do want to say, too, given my comments right off the bat, because I know people think of me sometimes as like whatever, but I do think that there can be government overreach. Like, there is a line where I'd be like, okay.
I don't understand why you want the government to be in charge of all of our lives.
Why do you want a nanny state,
and
Johnny?
Why do you keep using our podcast as your bully pulpit?
I don't even want it to be a nanny state. I want to call it a Johnny state. I want it to literally be tailored around my needs and wants. The Johnny state.
Government is such a funny thing.
Like everybody has that line. Right, like even people who are like, so like I have friends on both sides of the aisle, as do you. And so I talk to them sometimes, and I consider myself a centrist, but I think everybody does to some degree. It's like the George Carlin thing of everyone going faster than you on the highway is a maniac. Everyone going slower is an idiot.
Right.
So we think of ourselves as the gauge. Like,
sure.
Clearly, I'm seeing this rationally. Everyone else is a crazy loony lefty or a loony right-wing nut. But I do think like it's interesting, my friends on the far left, they'll say like, well, everybody just needs to pay their fair share. And like, I'm glad with whatever. And I go, but yeah, but okay, so taxes keep going up. There's a line where you'd be like, you don't want to pay 100% of your income to the government. Well, no. Well, that's where you become a right-wing nut job. Like, when you reach that point and you go, enough is enough.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, at that point, you're not a lefty anymore. And then people who want no government at all, I don't know what they want to do for roads and hospitals and,
right,
and infrastructure, but they just act like we can just be isolationists. Like, I just think it's interesting that, like, so all that said, I just thought it was an interesting video, a timepiece where you just look at yourselves 30 years ago or 50, right. I guess it's 50.
The babies almost, in the front seat smoking a cigarette. We probably needed to make a change.
Yeah, like, right? It was probably the right idea,
yep,
to protect people. I think we should be able to look at it without name calling. And if you elect me, I will probably not be able to help.
No, Johnny doesn't understand government.
I tell jokes. I'm not really Johnny even a political. I'm not even a political comic. So,
can you define the
what
term
are we even talking about here?
Bicameral.
Let me tell you how much I know about the healthcare system.
Okay.
I went to the dentist yesterday because I had so here's what happened. My dentist.
And you pulled his tooth.
Yeah, I was like, is this how it works?
He's like, you need to get off me, sir. And security was called.
I was like, I need to bear down. By the way, one time I had a molar extracted. Or maybe it was a wisdom tooth, and the molar beside it had decayed, and they had to take it too. So I have a molar missing back here. You just can't see because it's not like it doesn't affect my smile or anything. In as much as I do smile, I'm more of a grinner. I don't really love my teeth, but anyway. Also, all that said, you're kind of under, but you hear him and you feel, you know, and you kind of know what's going on, but you're on the laughing gas or whatever.
Yeah,
and I remember him to get leverage on the tooth. He put his foot on the armrest.
Wow.
His foot. Yeah. He was like getting up in there with the pliers. And I remember him going, like he was making a grunt. Like, I was like, what in the world is going on with my teeth? And it was bad. Yeah. But all that said, that's not what happened yesterday. So I've had like 4 good visits in a row, John. No cavities.
Wow.
I get a little gold star. They let me pick something out of the drawer. It's pretty exciting.
You get a little gold tooth.
Little grill for myself. So. But my dentist closed. How are dentists closing, first of all? I was down here at Paddix. Is it Paddix Dental?
Not a sponsor.
Paddix Dental. I don't know what happened. I still don't have no answers. So we're down here, and I just get a message one day. Hey, we're closing. We're sending all of your files. So they chose a dentist for me.
Huh.
I didn't get to choose.
What if you want to have a...
Right. I guess they're referring. It's like a handshake deal they have with this
other... usually there's a whole interview process.
Right. I want it. Who? Why?
Right.
So I go, okay, now I'm at, what was it called? Pleasant Grove Dental. Okay,
good. It sounds awful. Oh, sorry,
right.
Go ahead.
Everything's P's. Pleasant Grove, Providence, Paddock. So anyway, in the Mount Juliet, lovely Mount Juliet, Tennessee. So I go yesterday to my appointment. I get there early, and the maps take me there. I'm like, okay, I've never been to this building, whatever. Go in. There's nobody in the lobby. It's like a house, but it's like one of those like really nice houses they've converted into
a
dentist office.
The dentist built.
It is. I helped build it with my decay. So I'm sitting in the lobby, like, and it has a sign that says, we're all in a meeting. Be out soon. Have a seat. It's like a handwritten note on the desk of the reception. I go, okay. So I'm sitting down, and I'm watching, like, a bad soap opera. And then my appointment time has come and gone. Now it's, like, 10 minutes after, and I'm like, what's going on?
Yeah.
So I get up. I'm walking around, looking through the door.
You joined the meeting.
Yeah. I was like, can I, point of order. So...
This is not Robert's rules.
Then this lady comes out. She goes, hey, they let me leave the meeting early so I could check you in. I go, is somebody going to leave the meeting early to check on my teeth? That's what I said. So I'm a little bit, I'm being a little bit of a,
I'm not being a jerk, but
I'm being a little bit of like a, hey, you know, hey, 10 minutes past my point.
You guys know your dentist is middle of the day.
Because like if I was 10 minutes late, they would have.
Right. You know, this is what you do here.
Right. They would have texted me, what's the problem?
What you do here is not meetings. It's dental work.
Yeah. Right. Maybe the meeting was about my dentist.
Maybe that's what, maybe it was like they were
together. What are we going to do about it? We've got this guy's files and holy moly.
Well, let's call in the expert from China. Like they got him on a Zoom call and everyone's.
Holy moly. Have you? So I'm standing there and I walk over and she goes, okay, let me just get logged in. And it's tilted. You know, when somebody's logging into something at a hotel, a car rental place, they're required to go, that's the sound you have to make while you're clicking on a keyboard. Alrighty, let me just get logged in here.
Yeah.
You have to say choo, choo, choo. Anyway, she says that. She goes, what's your name? Wethington, W-E-T. I go, so now I'm getting...
Yeah.
Like, seriously? I go, they moved...
You made Wethington with a Q?
I go, they may have moved me over and you just don't have me in your system yet, but the other dentist office that closed, mm-hmm. and I couldn't remember the name of it.
Oh.
She goes, I don't know. I'm like, oh, man. And I'm getting... I did not take it out on her, but I was like, seriously? And so now it's... My point was at 12:30. Now it's 12:45.
Oh.
And I'm like, sheesh.
Do you know who I am?
So then I go, here's the text messages I've been getting from you guys. So this proves that I have an appointment. Then she looks at my phone and she goes, this is for Pleasant Grove Dental. I go, yeah. She goes, this is Providence Dental. So I got early to my appointment and waited. And now I've argued with this woman at the wrong dentist.
That's why I had a meeting because there was no one scheduled.
Yeah.
And you're the guy sitting...
Yeah, probably.
Wow.
They canceled all their noon and 12:30 appointments because they're like, let's have this meeting. And then I show up and I'm like belligerent. And so literally my dentist is across the street in some nondescript building. And I go to the third floor and now I'm late. I'm 20 minutes late to my real appointment.
But you don't want to tell him why.
No. I told him, I go, I went to the wrong place. I'm a moron. Right. And she goes, let me see if we can still get you
in. She's like, well, I'm sorry, we don't see you.
I said, I can reschedule. It's my fault. And she goes, no. Come on back. So they like hurriedly scraped my teeth.
I will say this, guys. We need to talk more about this story, but we're going to have to take just a short break to hear from a few of our sponsors.
Hello, folks. My name is Derek Greer, and I'm reaching out to fellow pastors and church leaders just like you to join me and other Christian leaders and organizations throughout the nation as we come together on June 8th and 9th for National Unity Weekend. Together, we will show the love of Jesus as we serve our communities on Saturday, June 8th, and then preach from a shared text on Sunday, June 9th. To register, go to unityweekend.com. That's unityweekend.com to join us as we unite the church and unite the nation.
I love that this story made everyone else out to be the idiot in the end. Those are my favorite stories.
Yeah.
In the end,
it's always me.
You know what I'm saying?
Always me.
When in doubt.
Yeah.
You know, it's what Taylor Swift said. I will stare directly at the sun, but never in the mirror. Come on, Johnny.
Mm-hmm. Why would you? That's not.
You don't think that's... You need to look in the mirror like it was your problem.
Oh, so you shouldn't be staring directly at the sun.
Right. She said, you know, I'll do all this. I'll sit here and yell at some lady at the desk and make fun of her, but I won't pay attention to the building I've walked into. I'm the problem. Johnny.
That's the first draft of it. I will yell at a lady at a desk.
Yeah. It wasn't as sing-songy.
She's like, what rhymes with desk? Rhymes with desk.
No, I have done stuff like that.
I just want to, for the record,
don't dial it back.
I was not belligerent.
I love it.
I was just a little miffed. It was probably clear to her that I was like, I have an appointment. She was like, no, you don't. So I apologize.
No, I mean.
But it's like Paddock, Providence, and Pleasant Grove.
Guys, I cannot be held responsible for reading.
You all use the P. Those three dentists are like a quarter mile from each other.
But your maps took you there. Again, that's the problem.
No, my
maps dropped you in the parking lot and there were two dentists there.
Yeah, basically.
Listen,
one's across the street.
I had an experience with Xfinity. I'm just going to call them out.
Oh, man.
Okay. And yeah, this is me
never going to be a sponsor.
This is me taking on the machine. And I don't know if you may work for Xfinity, and I don't blame the people who work for Xfinity.
Okay.
There was a day and time.
Right.
that I was.
You take it out on the employee.
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Well, because it's the only person I can talk to.
It's almost like the Matrix. If you work for the soulless,
right,
you're an enemy of the state.
You may not even know that you're doing it.
And you still got to be shot by Keanu. Is that what you're saying?
It's just like that. It's like it's an apples to apples comparison.
Who did you shoot, John?
So, well, so I spent probably in the last month 7 hours on the phone.
Yeah.
With Comcast Xfinity.
Which is a great use of your time.
Which, I have nothing else to do.
As a creator.
Nothing else to do. And so the deal was my bill just kept mushrooming.
As they all do.
Like it was near $400.
They get you in on these like $49 a month for the first 2 months.
Well, I had it for, I've been with them for
and
like
then
5 years.
Don't keep an eye on it because it's going to slowly.
Auto-draft.
The one I don't like is the fees they add. They go, this is your base rate, and then they can add all this other nonsense.
This is your turn the TV on fee. If you want your TV to come on, it's going to cost you another $2 a month.
Yeah.
And this is the right to have the TV turned on. That's going to be an extra 50 cents the government makes.
Excise taxes.
Now, this right here is your broadcast fee. So, like, if you want everything to be broadcast.
Yeah.
To your TV, that's going to be another $4. It's like, you know, I have to have all these things in order to watch this.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not railing against that, though. My old man, shake my fist at the heavens, is not about that.
Right.
So my bill was up to $360.
What channels do you have, John?
All of them, I guess.
Good Lord.
I was like, I was like, guys, what has happened here? It just kept creeping up. When I got on the phone the first time, I realized they were double charging me for like four streaming services that I had not ordered through them that I already pay elsewhere. Like they were charging me for Netflix.
Yeah.
They were charging me for ESPN Plus. I was like, guys, I don't pay off for that. I have it, but you can log in.
They go, no, you pay us for that.
Oh, we've been taking it for a while. So I canceled all that. I was like, still, this is too much. This is too much. Well, sir, what if we did this? Okay. Well, I got you down to this. Oh, okay. So then your bill will be changed. Now it's down like almost $100 already. It's like, okay. Well, that's still too much. So I call back. I was like, this is still too much. Well, okay. Well, I'm looking. And they said, well, this is what your promotion is. I said, no, tell me how much I have security to. Tell me how much security, television, and internet, all costs, individually, if I just called you to order it. They gave me the price. I'm like, that's like $50 less than my quote-unquote promotion.
Uh-huh.
Oh, well, give me a second, sir. And like you said, you're hearing the... like just, you know, even when I check into a hotel right now, I know the bits have been done, but I'm like... Y'all know you check in people at a hotel for a living. Like, what could you possibly be typing so much?
Yeah.
Like, so much. It should just be like, driver's here. Because I already checked in online. Mr. Driver's here. I just need to click this
button.
Right
this way, Mr. Driver, and a bellhop with one of those weird hats.
Like, hold on a second. I got to go find you in the dark web. It's like, just check me in. Anyway.
Yeah.
So she's doing all the work, and they come and put me on. This is all the hours of waiting. And finally, they're like, all right, we've got your bill down to $177. Keep all your stuff. It's fine.
You were like sold.
I was like, okay, this is fine. Do the work. 2 days later, all my stuff stops working. My television, no channels. No,
Your television stopped working?
I had eight channels.
Did your television come on, John?
It came on, but it had eight channels. My internet, and they started shipping me new equipment I didn't need. It's like, I had boxes of new equipment. Long story short, I finally decided.
It's too late.
I can't do this anymore. This is the second time in my life I've done this with them, this song and dance. And I'll say this, their stuff is awesome.
Oh, boy.
Like, when it works.
Uh-huh.
But if the bill gets out of whack or you need to make a change,
it is.
It's like trying to sponsor someone with immigration into another country
like,
or something.
Trying to leave a gym membership.
Yes.
They're like, well, are you just going to just not work out? You're just going to let yourself go?
Yeah.
How would you live without ESPN Plus? And you're like, I'll be fine.
I'll be okay. I already have ESPN Plus. I'm paying for it elsewhere.
Like, are you sure?
Well, you could pay for it with us too.
Oh.
So after all, I went to the Xfinity store in Johnny. And the whole story was I couldn't find it at first. I finally found it.
You ended up in Providence Dental.
Well, I was in Hermitage. I walk in. Yeah. I had an appointment.
Mm-hmm.
Appointment. And there are people waiting there. And Johnny, it was like I walked into death row.
Oh yeah, they're all just like head down.
And it's a really nice place.
Just, yeah.
I mean, they got
people
gritting
their teeth. Yeah, everything looks like an Apple store now.
The people have been sitting there. It's like, we've not eaten in 4 days. Like, it was like this.
Yeah, yeah.
They're looking at, of course, I'm the guy with the appointment.
Uh-huh.
And I walk in, and then the Xfinity guy's like, dude's trying to be so nice to check you in. It's like, well, I have an appointment, like right now.
They
like,
all do, sir.
He's like, well, you know, we only have like two employees here today.
Oh, boy.
Mondays are really busy. I was like, none of these things are really on me. You know what I'm saying?
You know how to take the reservation.
Why did you give me an appointment?
Holding the reservation.
Like, just what you should have done then is not give. Open, there was appointments all day available. Like, if you knew. You know, anyway, I didn't do that.
No.
I didn't do what you would do and start yelling at the person. I treated them like a human who was also in this problem. So, and I brought a box. We checked all the stuff in. And they're like, sir, we didn't even show that you have security anymore. I was just getting security for free. They messed it up
so
bad.
Oh, wow. Won't that preach?
Then they told me.
Some of y'all out here getting free security.
Guys, and you've been,
it's not even working.
You've been blaming Xfinity.
There's a burglar trying to steal from you. You don't even know about it.
You think that, okay. And so, long story short, I did all of that. I've got my other stuff set up. And guess who called me last night?
I don't know.
Xfinity.
Wow.
They were like, we see that you're thinking about canceling your service. I'm like, I've already canceled my service and returned all of my equipment.
Oh, man.
Well, you know, we're running a special. If you'd like to stay. I'm like, sir. I mean, it was one of those. He goes, would you mind telling me why you left? And this is one of those, like, don't do it. Like, you will be that guy that will get on your podcast and rant about Xfinity for 10 minutes and everyone, you know. But I just said, look, I've spent hours upon hours. You guys are great until something's
my time is valuable. I don't know about you, sir.
I don't know you, sir. I said, it's not your fault. It's just so you know, your machine is so big and convoluted that I should have just said this. You don't even know I've already canceled and returned my equipment.
Yeah.
Like somewhere in your system, you think, I'm thinking about it.
Uh-huh.
Like it's done. And then I got his home address. Whew. I'm just kidding. I didn't do that. So that's my story, Johnny, about that's a real problem. I didn't go to a wrong place.
Can I tell you about a good customer service experience I had yesterday? Well, it starts from a bad customer service experience, but we're like killing off sponsors one by one here, potential sponsors.
We've been a little negative today, and I'm sorry.
So I get my hair cut at a little place called Great Clips.
Not good clips.
Not good.
That's a whole nother place.
No. Not Fantastic Sam's. Just okay Sam's.
Just great.
Just Sam's. Sam's Club. I get my hair cut in bulk. They cut them all at once.
That's good.
Anyway, so the reason I do it is, of course I could get a better haircut. Okay? If you go to a salon.
Well.
But I like to be able to just like schedule it because I'm always like in a hurry. It's always like, I need a haircut today.
Right.
And you can go on the app and see like who's available. Who's got the lowest wait time?
How many years have you had hair? Like, why does it keep being an emergency?
I don't know. I'm just a bad planner.
Okay.
Poor planning. It's not.
Well, you should have danced with that.
It's not my salon's fault.
You just admitted to it, but it's sure.
Plus, the salon's like, man, they charge you $35, $40 for a man's haircut. That just feels, for my hair, it's not that complicated.
Right.
Come on. So, I've been going there a while. They always do a pretty good job. I'm in Dallas, Texas. I'm getting a little shaggy. What happens with my hair is it grows out over here. It doesn't grow down and long. It grows out like a shelf, and it gets kind of square over here when it gets too long. And I look like Frankenstein over here. It's like I have bolts on my neck. So you have to go get it trimmed up and faded. So I'm in Dallas going, and I was going to be in front of like 5,000 people that night.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I need to get my hair cut. Hey, they've got Great Clips here. I'll go on the app. So I go into Dallas, random Dallas Great Clips. And this woman who seemed confused about what she was doing did not give me a great haircut. She gave me what I would call a poor haircut.
So it would have been mediocre clips.
Yes.
Right.
She missed some spots. There was a couple little like, hey ho, alfalfas in the back standing up. And I just like left, get back to my, I go, maybe once I wash it and.
Right.
No.
No.
So I went back to her. I go, hey, there's a spot here that you got to clean up. I can't. This can't be, but you can at least. So she did a little more in the back. I get back. It's still kind of, I still feel like I could get some clippers from, you know, Kroger and just fix this myself at some point. But I'm not going to because why? I'll make it way worse. So I just kind of lived with it. I did my shows. When I get back into town. So yesterday, I'm like, I need to go get this. Finally, it's been a few days, but I need to get it. So I go to the Great Clips down here and I walk in. She goes, hey. And she goes, I go, yeah, I just got my haircut 5 days ago, but here's the story. Told her. She goes, oh, okay. I go, look, she just had a bad day. She had an off day. It happens. She goes, yeah, whatever. She fixes it all and then did not charge me. She goes, we don't charge for touch ups for other, because she could prove that I'd been in that doubt. I'm in their system. I went to. So there you go, Great Clips.
Hey, way to go, Great Clips.
Taking care of each other and taking care of your customers.
I like it.
So she had the lady's back. She was like, well, look, you know.
Right, it happens.
We don't know what she was going
look
through.
Look at your head.
Like, she didn't be like, was it Marjorie? Oh, she's the worst.
Marjorie in Dallas?
She should have. Yeah, she's a legend.
Yeah.
But anyway, so I thought, well, that's not a bad.
I'm glad she didn't blame your head. Like, sir.
Sir, I don't know how.
These are artists, and this is the canvas they had.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Or something.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
Because that would have hurt. But they didn't say that, Jonas.
Was it this lumpy part that got her tripped up? Yeah, I think it might have been.
Was this an injury or?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you fall after the haircut and cause this pump knot? Anyway.
Did that cause your eyes to go cross like that?
Yeah.
Or
is this all from the haircut? Hey, what about the goatee? Is that something you're trying to grow? Anyway.
What are you covering up? Is it a?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, so
all the things that could have been said were all not.
We would love to have Great Clips as a sponsor.
That'd be amazing.
Even Marjorie.
You know what? We would take Xfinity as a sponsor too.
Would we?
You know what? Here's the thing. Give me free Xfinity.
You know what's funny is if you did, we might get a little free swag.
I like Xfinity. I just don't want to pay a mortgage for it. And then when I'll change the bill, I want the changes to actually go.
It's like when people are ex-evangelicals, you're Xfinity. You're Xfinity.
Yeah.
You're on the outside now. You deconstructed cable.
I really did. And now I've reconstructed.
You're like, do I even need this? What did I?
I was in years, a. Was
I in a cult? Like you're asking questions, and it's important, John, to ask these questions sometimes.
They were important.
And now you've reconstructed with what do you have now? Hulu.
It's like a Frankensteinian number of things. It's all the yes. I have Hulu TV.
Won't that preach? When you stop believing in something, you believe everything.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have a little bit of everything now.
You fell for it, John.
It's
you're some kind of weird cable universalist now.
Yeah, like all of my streaming services coexist. You know what I'm saying? Like that's. I think we're gonna have to scrap this entire episode. This is not gonna make the cutting room.
I disagree. I think it's great.
To be clear, we're not universalists.
Oh boy,
we're not socialists. We don't hate everybody and we don't treat people badly. Like if you're new to the show, you think that actually we're super nice to everybody, so we were kind of making fun of each other about
John,
it.
What
but
are
you
doing?
Haven't listened this far now, you're like, I'm not listening to this garbage, you know, and
that's
then
fine.
So now all the disclaimers
I'm
are
not gonna
late.
Argue that this is not garbage. I'm not gonna be so bold as to say that. I don't know.
Speaking of garbage.
Yes.
You know, we've been talking about the things that just show up at your house.
Right.
The other day small box shows up at the house
of garbage,
and you know we talked about like whether or not it's a part of some sort of campaign to get you.
Yeah, how do they?
Right.
What's the hook?
So my mom's name is Judy, and I saw the box, and on the box it said to Judy Driver, SpongeBob SquarePants.
Wait a minute. Back up.
In fact, it might have said Judy SpongeBob SquarePants Driver.
No, it didn't.
It had SpongeBob SquarePants
like
in the name, in the person it was mailed to, as if her name was Judy Driver SpongeBob SquarePants.
Okay.
I'm like, maybe she
you're
bought
like,
something for one of the littles. You know
like,
what I'm saying?
I never knew my mom's middle name. Maybe that. You know what I'm saying? Do you know?
What are the odds that she was named before that show was ever
way
named?
Way before.
Like, maybe she's
named
the inspiration?
After.
I don't know.
That's a heck of a monogram on a towel.
I mean,
you know what I'm saying? It's a long, it's a beach towel.
So I just kind of saw it and was like, okay.
Sure.
And so when I get home, mom or Laura want to open the box.
Yeah.
And inside is a SpongeBob SquarePants cup.
Uh-huh.
And nothing else.
Wow.
No note. No.
No receipt.
Receipt.
Who is it from?
That's a great question.
Because mine just said like, provider, like service provider.
I think it was. I don't think there was no way.
Internet vendor or something.
We didn't know where it came. We have no idea where it came from, to my best recollection.
Did you?
Mom's like, because, you know, here's the thing about mom. And
she's like, finally it came. Wouldn't it be great if she had actually ordered it?
She put her name in the SpongeBob SquarePants.
I thought it was a scam, but they're real.
Well, mom listens. And so, mom, you know, I'm having so much fun with this and I'm not picking on you. You know, mom.
Well, yeah, it's just like the earmuffs. I don't know.
We don't know.
So
like,
what are you,
but stuff will show up sometimes. Like, she'll do Walmart mobile orders, you know, and when they don't have one thing, they'll replace it with something else.
Oh.
So we'll get something that is completely the opposite. Like, I was like, how did you choose to replace what we ordered with this?
Yeah.
Mom's like, guys, I promise I ordered the right thing. And so she immediately started into that. Guys, I know what you're thinking. I've done something, right? You thinking I've done something, and
gone crazy.
I've done nothing. Like, yeah. I cannot even begin to fathom, you know.
Well, that's kind of your fear is, like, as your parents get older, are they going to start randomly ordering things off the internet or get, like, taken in by a scam? So she's trying to reassure you, like, this is not a thing I just randomly ordered cups.
And she's really she'll check in like, okay, I got this link and it says it's a bank thing. She's like, I don't think I should open it. I go, no, don't open it. You know, it's kind of thing. I'll call Jeffrey and do the same thing. Like, hey.
And it said from SpongeBob SquarePants.
Right.
bank of usbank.org.
Bank of SpongeBob SquarePants.org LLC. Yeah. So, I mean, I was like, I'll do the same. Like, hey, this is from Apple, but it looks a little weird to me. What do you think? He's like, yeah, don't open that. You know, so we all have that person. Yeah. We lean into, Johnny. That's called accountability.
Yes.
And community.
We need it.
We don't make decisions on our own. And so, to this day, though, we don't know what the point was.
Uh-huh.
Like, whoever mailed that and used her name.
Yeah.
It wasn't like it went to the wrong person. Or unless there's someone out there really named Judy Driver SpongeBob SquarePants.
Well, it's like the earmuffs that Curry got randomly sent. Our friend Allison said that her theory, she said, people really do this. They hope you'll leave online reviews. I go, where would I leave this online review?
Don't even know who sent it to me.
There was not a receipt.
Were you going to send a Google?
There wasn't a thing like
earmuffs.
If you love these earmuffs, go here. There was no action step. So what is she supposed to do with this SpongeBob tumbler? Y'all are using it, aren't you?
Oh, every day.
It's my new favorite. New favorite cup. Is it like a kid's cup?
Yeah.
So it's like a little sippy cup
size. It's not small. No.
Oh, okay.
It's like
12 ounces.
Sure. Maybe 8.
Okay.
12 probably.
Yeah.
A single cup. Which, you know, usually cups come in like 4, those plastic cups.
Yeah.
Just a single. Like, you can't sit down with your family and have a SpongeBob SquarePants dinner with these.
Don't you think, I know somebody has, this has been said before, but I don't know a lot about like alcohol culture at all because I just didn't grow up around. I was such a teetotaler. And now I could care less. A lot of people drink, whatever. I don't care. But I think it's interesting that like, what you drink out of, like if you have wine out of a glass, it's like very sophisticated. If you have wine out of a SpongeBob SquarePants cup, you've got a problem.
Right. Doesn't matter how good the wine is.
Yeah. If you're pouring like schnapps into a sippy cup.
Right. Well, schnapps, I think, would be.
Something's wrong.
Yeah. Something's wrong if you're pouring schnapps at all. But I don't think I've ever.
You know what I mean? It's like the idea of.
But yes, a nice wine and you're like.
But for some reason, like in this clear, that I can swirl it around. And oh, well.
Well, there is something about. Because
if you just grab like a coffee mug and go, just give me some.
Just give me a little wine.
They go, what's wrong with you?
What are you,
It's just a conveyance for the alcohol.
Well, so if my wife was here, she would say, so in the culinary world, so like you actually have different size wine glasses for whites versus reds because they're.
The serving size is different.
That was as intelligent as I could sound up to that point. I've lost the words now of what the next thing should be, but it has to do
the bouquet.
It has to do with how it. I don't want to say how it rests, but like when it comes out, like wine will be different after it sits for a while.
Okay,
and so there's different things of the size of the cup.
But what if I'm just going to pour it in the coffee mug and then just chug it? No one will be the wiser.
No. Yeah, neither were you.
You're saying I should
sit.
Because
if you start chugging wine.
That just shows how little I know about this stuff. But I just think it's funny.
You know, my great uncle was a teetotaler.
Yeah.
Preacher. Loved him to death, Uncle Charles. And he used to say every Sunday night, he would preach at our church Sunday night. And that lets you guys know our backgrounds. We went to Sunday night church.
Yeah, man.
And the dude, I mean, he was an unbelievable guy. Would get up and go visit nursing homes every morning. Like, and he lived into his 80s. And just was really amazing guy. But he came out of the temperance movement.
Mm-hmm.
That whole tradition comes out of the temperance movement of the late 19th century. And so he had strong beliefs that were things like Jesus didn't drink alcoholic wine. You know, there was a whole,
non-fermented.
Right. There's a whole like a guy wrote a book in like 1870s or 80s.
Right.
And it, like cascades down, trickles down a few generations. And that becomes like a bedrock theological belief, not necessarily based upon, you know, true understanding of the original languages of those things. So he really believed, you know, drinking was completely wrong and unbiblical. And so, but he would preach every Sunday night. He would say, I tell you tonight, Bud ain't any wiser.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like he had his beer jokes. When you said that, I wouldn't be the wiser. It's like, neither would Bud.
Bud is not wiser.
No.
I don't know.
No. And he also had a joke about like, y'all, I'm not against.
Pabst ain't going to win the blue ribbon. I'll tell you that right now.
Because I'm not against television, but I'll tell you, why would you watch a show so awful that it's called Die Nasty? he had a few jokes.
Didn't like Pentecostals call TVs the one-eyed devil? Wasn't that the big?
I don't know if I mean, that's a little before my generation. No, yeah. Was ever actually.
That
said.
Was probably out of that same similar
they wouldn't
mindset.
Go to the
temperance
go to the
movement.
Movie theater.
Yeah,
yeah. His
that's where people caroused and hung out, and
he was
it's dark in there. You might start dancing.
Right. The appearance of evil was such a big deal. The uh-huh. appearance of evil is as bad as evil, and so
yeah. Right.
And there's biblical. You know, references to those. I'm not dogging that idea as a whole to the level they went. I remember he would say that he wouldn't, when he was young, he wouldn't even drive down the road with a Coke in his hand.
Yeah.
Because someone
fear.
Might think it was a beer.
Uh-huh.
And I even back then as a kid, you know, being raised to believe, you know, at that point, like everyone around me, my parents didn't harp on drinking or something, but
right.
the church culture certainly did. Like, even me thinking drinking wasn't a great thing thought, you really got to go a long way to just assume if I see a Pepsi bottle in your hand,
right.
that Uncle Charles
that's a lot of, like, pressure to put on yourself.
It is, yeah.
Yeah.
I kind of felt bad for Uncle Charles in that, like, man, I don't
it's
know.
It's almost like bondage or whatever. Yeah. Like, you're just kind of trapped in this mindset of, like, other people's perception of you.
Well, I have zero judgment again. Uncle Charles did, well, no, they, he did meant, more good in his life.
That's
than
what I mean.
That.
He meant well. It's just a bummer for him. It's just kind of like, wow, it's a bummer to like carry that around.
And our family has had a lot of alcoholics on both sides. And so a lot of the stuff with the family was, hey, we have bad experiences. And actually, that's where the temperance movement came out of.
Yeah.
People have to understand, like, beer in the colonization days, okay? Beer's common. Like, it'd be common for beer, especially a lot of German immigrants and
right.
European immigrants, you know, it's just another drink.
Didn't,
you know,
Ben Franklin famously say beer is proof that God loves us and wants us to be happy?
Someone, one of those.
I think it was Ben Franklin.
When in doubt, it's easy to pick Ben Franklin. He's had a lot of great stuff.
He did say some stuff, that guy.
But like...
By the way, he makes an appearance in This Week in History.
Does he really?
Today.
Oh, I can't wait.
So.
Get ready. But like, there was a moment in time where distilled spirits suddenly... Mm-hmm. became way more common.
Yeah.
And so you're going from a 5%,
you're going to like
6%
liquor.
Alcohol
yeah.
to a 50 or 40 or 50%.
Right.
And so men especially began just abusing this on another level.
Right.
They're used to drinking beer you know, you're used to what you do.
Yeah.
So now you're drinking at that same rate and they're just,
right.
they're just getting
so was it
becoming
hammered. A problem?
And there was a lot of domestic abuse. Actually, you guys should go watch the Ken Burns documentary on prohibition.
Oh, I need to watch that. Yeah, we talked about it before.
I'm telling
but, yeah.
you what, and if you would have told me that, it would sound like the nerdiest.
Yeah.
Like, no, that I'm telling you, it was one of the most.
Well, he's always good. And he could cover any subject and you'd want to see it.
Well, and Peter Coyote could read anything and I'd want to see it. Yeah. But like the understanding how they got, because if you look back and go, how did we pass an amendment?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it wasn't technically to prevent the consumption of alcohol, but it was to prevent the creation and sale of it.
Yeah.
How did we get there as a country, you know, and try to legislate morality, understanding even the, you know, how the religious systems were informing that
mm-hmm.
their, you know,
and the power that the political power they had then versus what they have now.
Right. Or how we came into some legacy of the religious systems informing political power. And so, that's been there from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of evolution over time, where it went. And I think to know, like, it's easy to go, they shouldn't have, that was weird, that was never going to work. But when you really watch it and
they're reacting
understand,
to something.
Yeah, like, yeah, it was an overcorrection to a real problem,
right.
Because...
Which is what government does, and again, it comes back to government overreach. Like, it can happen. It happens all the time, and it's just a matter of, like, where you fall.
Yep.
And when it affects you, you're like, oh, now this is a bridge too far.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
I don't know, man.
It's easy when, and I've been guilty of that, and we've tried.
When you can't know in the moment, sometimes even, like even with like vaccine mandates, I probably would have been somebody in the moment that was like, all right, well, we're trying to protect people. Let's not be unreasonable here. And now I look back and I go, yeah, that was probably over. I feel like that was overreach now. Like I've probably adapted a little bit and I go, yeah, for what we got with them, it probably was an overreach to say like, you're fired if you don't do this.
See, you know, I don't know if, where it got with private companies and things like that.
Yeah.
I
That's true. You got to let the private market do what it does. But
history generally informs where I go. And I know it's not the first time in American history that we had to mandate vaccines in order to try to preserve our survival, especially in the unknown.
Yeah.
I was a little more like, okay. And people worried that they were made so quickly. That technology had been around for years and years and years, just never had a chance to really be applied. So I was a little more like, okay. But where it got me was that I did have friends who's like, they were prevented from seeing their elderly loved ones in nursing homes who had dementia and other stuff.
Yeah, you look back at age, some of that stuff aged really poorly.
You go, and at the time, I was like, okay, that, I know what they're trying to do to preserve because there's huge outbreaks happening.
Right, I know there's a,
and I think that's the other thing is to go, you know, I think we said this before, leadership, there are going to be some things that happen that there's not going to be an outcome that pleases everybody.
Yeah.
And you're going to make mistakes. Even with the best path available, you're gonna pick the best path available, and it may not go great, but that was still the best out of all the things. It was the, or you don't know what else was, but I think there's one of those. So it's never okay when someone is mistreated or something goes wrong. So I didn't like that, but I think to go, I wasn't expecting though the government. And by the way, it was under two presidents under different parties.
Yeah.
And neither one. I think. I mean, that's right. A great proof if we could zoom out.
Right.
Of sort of our tribalism.
It was going to be a cluster. It was going to be a problem.
It was a cluster for everybody involved.
Yeah.
The experts, the non-experts, the Democrats, the Republicans. It was a cluster for everybody. And we can have really strong opinions about it. Or we can go, guys, a global pandemic that, you know, millions of people died from around the world. That's the number one thing I think Americans need to hear. This was happening around the world. It was not just a president's thing. How they responded is their thing. This was happening in other countries and continues to affect other countries. But to go, hey, that's going to be complicated, and we're not going to get an easy, you know, answer. We got to do our very best with this and be held accountable if we make mistakes, all those things. But no, I think it was a, I think you look back and go, like, prohibition, that it came from something.
Yeah.
Most, and I think even like we talk about church stuff a lot. For the most part, like, we can dog 80s, 90s, early 2000s, you know, celebrity church culture, but recognize that the Jesus movement of the 70s was a reaction against organized, stuffy, non-personal relationship religion. And that people were, there was a real revival there where people began to have like an understanding of a personal relationship. And so, you know, that begins to, that's great when it's organic and grassroots. Eventually things, if they're good, don't stay organic grassroots. They grow, and then you're going to have a system, and it's going to have to be
reformed. I always say like a movement starts out like very pure. And then there's a moment, there's a tipping point, and for me, it's one word, merch.
Yeah.
When movements get merch, something,
that's when you know,
something goes wrong.
Yeah, you're now worried about branding, and you're making money.
Yeah.
And you start selling. I'm against making money, because you have to maintain.
It's just weird, though, like, when a movement has a t-shirt, I immediately go, I have a side eye, like, okay. You got a logo now?
I want to tell you something. T-shirt Christianity, there's a lot I want to write about there.
Yeah.
And it's not because I'm against it, but we grew up in that age. And it's almost like, you know, if you read Jesus and John Wayne, okay, you know, like, she takes down a lot of people that, by taking down, I mean, she tells a story that takes off the rose-colored lenses of how you looked at some major political or major religious figures because of their involvement in political things. It's fascinating, and I think it's actually a good read regardless. You don't have to agree with everything, but I think it'd be good.
It's really just a history.
Right, to see a perspective other than your own. You don't have to start hating Billy Graham because of it. Like, I think you got to let people be both and let people be more than one thing, and also understand that those people in those days don't have the benefit of our hindsight.
Right.
And so generally, I do believe if you try to apply God's ways in humility, you can – it's way easier to see the roadblocks or the things that you should have seen when you're looking back at them. But God's ways do show you as you're going. Like, there are moments where we'll have a talk at our table, and whether it can be about design and brand and what, you know, and Andrew and I especially are putting on at least slowdown brakes.
Yeah.
Let's really think through.
Mm-hmm.
Do we want to be... Who do we want to be? Who do we not want to be? And where could this lead? Now, that analysis paralysis can be
sure.
You know, like, slippery slope argument. Man, it's fine. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, do we really got to pull out the history books and study theology to know if we're going to make a T-shirt or not for our church? But that being said, I don't think anybody intend that if there's a bad outcome, it's rare that someone who was trying to do something good intended it to ever get there.
I've known some people before who worked in government even and were like well-meaning congressmen, and they talk about one of the things they talked about that I always think about is the main problem in government that you always have to think about is unintended consequences.
Yeah.
So something can be really good, and it can cause a loophole that makes this other people group be either disenfranchised or some other person take advantage of the loophole you've made.
Yeah.
And you didn't see it. And now it's 5 years down the road, and you're like, oh, man. Like, one great example, and this was passed by a bipartisan. It was a bipartisan bill, the crime bill that went through in the 90s that basically ended up punishing crack cocaine like 10 times more than powder cocaine. Was inherently racially biased. At the time, no one could really see that. It was like, we got to stop the crack epidemic.
Right.
And you didn't. So now you have people 40 years later going, man, we blew it. Yeah. 30 years later, man, we blew it. Including Biden has admitted, like, man, we blew that. We're gonna try to reform this.
Right, that was a Clinton-driven thing.
Yeah.
At the time.
And, you know, privatization of prisons, all this stuff where we're trying to get tough on crime. We're going to punish people for, you know, basically what we now would treat as almost like a disease.
Right.
And so it's very intriguing, but we can't know that in the moment. In the moment, you're just like, we got to protect kids. It's always about kids in the beginning. You're like, we got to protect kids from drugs. Yeah. We'll do whatever we do. Put them under the jail. And then you look back and you go, man, we made some missteps. But it's important to look. You have to have like this unvarnished view at your history to really move forward, I think.
Yeah, well, I think you just got to
be honest about it.
Yeah, to number one, know.
But that's not to say punish everybody and be like, oh, they were the most evil. Their intentions were wrong. Like, not always.
You know, like, and again, I added into a book proposal I've just been spending a lot of time on. I'm talking about the breakdown of society as Tennessee seceded from the Union.
Yeah.
And I'm reading a lot of firsthand accounts of what was happening. And it's easy to, because it's sort of a study on American, on the reframing of American history and the definitions of American patriotism over time.
Right.
How do we, you know, evaluate and whose history is remembered and who is forgotten, even if it's intentionally or unintentionally. And I added a line there because I went and researched, you know, like you can't just paint the Confederacy with one brushstroke.
Right.
Like I think, and again, I'm sorry, this is always how I felt. I'm not woke or any of those things. I've always felt that, I mean, taking up arms against the United States is what they called it, rebellion. They called themselves, we're rebels. And it splintered the nation in a unfathomable way. But it was, the splintering was already there. It, you know, hundreds of thousands of people. I mean, it was not good and not what the founders wanted, all those things. And it was about slavery. And if you go and read the state secession statements, they come right out and say this is about slavery. So the rewriting of saying, well, this is about, I mean, yes, it was about states' rights.
States' rights to own people, right.
And so, you know, it and the balance of power between North and South for sure, but all of that was based upon that. Because even the Three-Fifths Compromise was about, we don't want to count these people as people, but we want to count them as population. Mm-hmm. So we can have more representatives in Congress, and the South can have more power than the North in all of the caucuses and those things.
Huh.
And so that's the deal. Like we'll count them as some of the people, but it's so we can gain power.
Yeah,
because we have this huge population, we can't count if we just call them property. So let's call them 3/5. That's the compromise.
Interesting. You
know? So, like when I look at it though, I realize every like just average. I put myself, if I'm, as I say, I'm a 25-year-old white Southerner who does not own slaves living in Nashville in 1861.
Mm-hmm.
My whole family says the North is invading, right?
Right. And there, it's all you know.
There is a huge, like, movement of chivalry and young men. They have no clue of what this is, the first modern war of their time.
Right.
So do they, you know, what they know about war is really more musket ball stuff. You know, there was a Mexican American War, but so they don't yet have quite the clue. So they're going to go out in fields and face each other just like, you know, the Revolutionary War at first. And then it turns into something more because now you got, by the end of it, there's Gatling guns and stuff. Like, you know, the mini ball is such a more accurate, it's not a ball, by the way, but it's such a more accurate small arms ammunition. And it, so as opposed to you just shooting and hoping that this thing hits, like you can aim and you got snipers now.
Mm-hmm.
And when it enters, it literally stays inside and explodes basically like splinters out when it enters your body. So that's why there's amputation. Like they have no idea what's coming.
Right.
You know, so, and their moms are sewing their uniforms because back then it wasn't like just a standard uniform necessarily. You knew you were going to be gray probably,
yeah.
But the better, like if you're, you know, today you'd think that was a dishonor, but back then it was like, no, this is my chivalric honoring of my homeland. I got this uniform, my family, my sister, my mom made for me to defend our homeland. And now, you know, the newspaper editors are writing, hey, this is about all white men being masters over black people. Like it just comes out and says it. And I quote that, but I also say there were a lot of people who, because there was a vote to secede that did not pass.
Yeah.
So they weren't liking what was happening, but they weren't ready to go to war yet. Like there were people not, and basically those who were writing those kinds of articles eventually pushed the issue. There's even some speculation that the vote wasn't fair. Like it was actually rigged, that Tennessee never actually, because they're the last state to secede. But the whole point of that is like, I can't just say, hey, all the Confederates just wanted to do this one thing. Like they did, they were caught up in something.
Yeah.
And it was wrong. Like I can say that it's wrong. And that's, I don't mind saying, hey, I don't think that was good. Certainly slavery was wrong.
But that's the thing.
But they're living in a time, you know.
Yeah, and now you can say that was wrong. We've moved on. We can learn from our mistakes. That's the thing. It's like, that's the part that I feel like the left gets way wrong, is there's no path to redemption for people who've made mistakes. They don't, you know what I'm saying?
Like,
you're canceled forever in some ways. And then and the far right wants to just like, no, put up statues. And if you take down the statues, you're erasing history. It's like, no, we never should have put up these statues.
Here's what I believe, truthfully. And if I had to, and I've studied this a lot, I think you did forfeit your right to have a statue.
Yeah.
Whenever you took up arms against the United States. We should not honor you in the United States.
We can say
you were someone who believed deeply in what you believed in.
Yeah.
We can say that you maybe felt that you were doing an honorable thing. In the end, you were enslaving people and it was wrong whether you knew it or not. We have to call that what it is. Now, can we say, are all sins forgivable? Sure, this is not a God thing. This is when we start mixing it.
Right, it's about what we honor as a culture.
But I think the big thing now is, though, that the slaves' history is also American history.
Uh-huh.
That's where the real fight is right now.
Right.
The fight is, we don't want to talk about this because we're just trying to make the country look bad. And I want to go, look, if my friends who are black, you know, the history we're trying to tell in some of the classes and books that are being canceled in certain states right now, that's also just as much American history.
Right.
Why do we only remember the parts that make us look good?
Mm-hmm.
Why can't we say, because we're still de-Americanizing them when we say, look, that's a hard time to look back at. So can't we move on? Here's the deal. I want to know what happened with my family in the early 1800s. In order to talk about what happened to their families, we have to talk about slavery.
Yeah.
And we have to talk about the Civil War. And
yeah.
So to me, it's like, we don't have to keep, no one's blaming, I don't blame anyone alive today for a war that happened 150 years ago. But I can say, hey, that history needs to be honored. It's just as much and just as important. And it's also harder to find. So we need to do the work. We need to do the archaeology. We need to not act as if like, because we tell someone else's history that it's suddenly it's all CRT. Yes, they were people who were enslaved because of the color of their skin. Like it was a racial thing. It was absolutely a racial thing by design.
Yeah.
And it wasn't right. And we're never going to get over it. Like we're never going to, but what we can say, we don't have to though, we'll punish each other for it forever.
Right.
But maybe reparations and other things that we've talked about before, instead of going, I don't want to hear this. Maybe I want to listen because this is someone else's history who's also just as much of an American as I am. That's really where it gets for me. So.
I want to know, what do you think the odds are of me getting a statue?
Well, they're not good. I asked around.
Like even if I was to commission it and pay for it?
You could commission a statue.
Okay.
Do
you have a guy?
Oh, I got a statue guy.
Do you? This seems like you would know a statue guy, John. I've seen your pool. Hey, speaking of history, John. Yeah. I think it's time, as I lean forward to get my laptop, for a little segment that we like to call This Week in History or Talk About Then. come back. Mm. You like that?
Flawless. Seamless.
No one will ever.
We run a tight ship here. Talk about that.
This week in history, John. 1972. This is a weird one. Did not know this. A gold anodized aluminum plaque is launched into space aboard NASA's Pioneer 10 spacecraft. Did you know this? It's almost like a time capsule thing.
Okay.
I don't know what they were expecting, but there is a plaque. I'm looking at it. I wish I could send you a photo of it so you could see how weird this thing is. It featured the nude figures of a human male and female, along with several symbols that are designed to provide information about the origin of the spacecraft. A second plaque was placed aboard Pioneer 11 the following year. This is 72. So I don't know what they thought was going to happen. Like, let's put these weird hieroglyphics of naked people and symbols on the side of this spaceship, and then we're going to send it into space. Did they think, like, if aliens see this, they'll need these symbols to be like, oh, this is what naked people look like. I have no idea what's going on, but that was aboard. It's called the Pioneer Plaque.
Interesting.
And
so it's still out there.
I don't know. It says launched into space aboard. Maybe it came back.
Well, that wouldn't make any sense. I thought this.
And they had drawn something next to us. Like, wait a minute, what did they draw? They drew mustaches.
They're playing a game
they
of
put,
hangman.
They put fig leaves on the people. Yeah.
They're like,
yeah, put some clothes on. Wilt Chamberlain, John, 1962. Do you know what happened?
He's set the scoring record.
Do you know how many?
102?
100. Just 100.
Just 100 even. Okay.
Yeah, the National Basketball Association, young NBA, scored 100 points for the Philadelphia Warriors, 169-147 win over the New York Knicks.
Wow.
So he scored 100 of the 169 points.
Good.
I think at some point they just started feeding him the ball.
Right, let's get the record.
The folklore of it, yeah. And the other thing about Wilt was he was a terrible free throw shooter,
yeah.
But I think he shot like 90% from the line that night, wow. And that's what gave him the leg up on it, because wow. He shot like, I don't know how many of those were free throws, I'd have to look it up, but I think I remember reading that several places that, like, for whatever reason, he was on fire from the line,
yeah.
And that's what put him over. Because normally he would have made like 50%. He was like Shaq a
Which,
little
by the way, speaking of basketball, we just have to give a shout out to our starting point guard for Tennessee, Zakai Ziegler, towards ACL. We were both watching that game, and it was...
I mean, one of the most beloved Vols ever.
Well, maybe he's from New York.
Yeah.
The Bronx, I believe. Yeah. Or is it Brooklyn? I think it's the Bronx.
Right.
And it was nobody recruited him.
Mm-hmm. Barnes, just a short kid.
Yeah, it's real short. I mean, he is... You know, he was up for Defensive Player of the Year.
Uh-huh. Before
he
went finalist. Down. Yeah.
And his house burned down. Mm-hmm. And the Tennessee fans took up a...
This didn't all happen this weekend, by the way.
But this is sort of his story. He's been through
the
a
lot. The ACL happened.
Like, he used to sneak onto a train.
Yeah.
Because he couldn't afford the ticket. He would go sneaking in because he was going to... Someone had let him... The program at the school he was going to play.
Yeah.
He didn't have any money or anything. And so he would, like, hide in the bathroom of the train every day. Like, he'd get up at 5. And, like, he's just worked so hard. And is now the starting point guard and sort of the heart and soul of the team. And just... Non-contact injury, just tore his ACL, went down.
When I sneak onto trains, I find that people are less cool with it.
Right.
Like, it's not going to be my origin story, like, he really loved comedy. This guy snuck on trains.
And hid in the bathroom.
They'll be like, what a creep.
Right, that guy.
Yeah, I don't know.
I wish, yeah. Well, but his house burned down and the Tennessee fans helped rebuild it in this period.
That's really cool.
His family lives
he's
here now.
I remember watching these games this year and even last year and thinking, he's going to end up being the most beloved volunteer player
all time
in history.
And he's got several years out to play, so he'll come back next year. But.
Yeah, so speedy recovery to him.
Yeah.
John, 1933, March 2nd, the movie King Kong, about a giant ape and his love for a beautiful woman. Do you remember the woman? Faye Ray?
Mm-mm.
Famous ingenue. Opened in New York City to sell out crowds, setting an all-time attendance record for an indoor event. So this was a big spectacle.
Wow.
Have you seen the original King Kong?
I've seen bits and pieces.
I watched on the plane one of the many, many remakes, Kong Skull Island.
Okay.
It is a big, dumb...
Is that Jack Black?
No.
Okay.
He was in a Kong movie, though.
Yeah.
That was like the original. But there was one where it's about going to Skull Island, and it's not just Kong there. There's a bunch of other creatures that live there, because it's outside of... It's like Bermuda Triangle kind of a thing where no one's ever been.
Right.
And it's post-Vietnam, right? The war's ending. And they send this, like... platoon there to help these scientists discover it, basically. Wow. So they're like the envoys that help these people. You're just going to protect these scientists while they do some studies. And of course, King Kong is there, and along with like gigantic spiders and huge lizards and crazy things. And so it's a big, dumb monster movie, and I really like it.
Really?
It's just fun and gross and just, wow. It's really good. And it's very CG, you know, but it's sure. CG is so good now. Whereas when you look at maybe a 1933 King Kong, probably not so much.
Yeah.
But anyway. It was beauty that killed the beast. That was the famous line from that. Because basically he goes to save the girl. He falls off the building. And then so they say.
Wow.
He falls to his death from the Empire State Building.
It's very romantic.
It was beauty that killed the beast. Let's see. Here's our Ben Franklin tie-in.
Okay.
Lightning rods were proposed to protect houses by Benjamin Franklin in a letter to his colleague, Peter Collinson. So he just proposed, I don't know, if, like, did he help develop it? Yes. But it just says he proposed them.
Yeah, I read up on that before. Yeah, they
a lot of lightning things with Ben Franklin going on. The key on the kite, that's folklore,
lightning
probably,
became
right?
Standard
is the key on the kite real? You know your history,
yeah.
Guy.
Yeah.
That's like folklore, though. The whole story is real, like 100% mm-hmm. as we remember it. He put a key on the kite, lightning struck the key, and that's how he discovered
that lightning
was electricity.
I don't know if the lightning actually struck it. I think he certainly felt like magnetic fields and other stuff. But yeah, okay. He was experimenting for sure. But yes, lightning rods, because lightning striking those buildings were burning. I mean, fire is the number one thing you don't want in those days. I mean, it's not what you want today either, but a fire could burn up a colonial
city. Are you sure you
want
to sell insurance, John? Hey.
Hi, guys. Fire's not so bad.
Thanks for watching Xfinity. Fire is the number one thing you don't want.
It was very, by the way, since we were sitting here, Xfinity is like, would you mind taking the time to tell us why you canceled? I just got a text.
Oh, no. Yeah. They're listening, John.
Oh, my goodness.
They really are.
We haven't even put this out yet.
It's crazy.
But yes, but then lightning rods really began saving cities during that time, technology-wise, because it kept the buildings from burning down and then the fire spreading. So, yes.
Texas declared their independence from Mexico. What year, John?
Okay, hold on. 1836.
You got it.
Did I?
Okay. How did you do it?
There you go.
Wow.
I was like a little bit of a guess.
It was like when you guessed the $25,000 purchase price of some state. Wasn't it a state?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're like, I don't know, $25,000 in gold? I was like, what? You looked this up in advance.
I knew because I know the Mexican-American War was in the 1840s, and I knew that the Texas independence came before that, so I kind of took an estimated guess.
Finally, this week in history, Desi Arnaz was born 1917. Famously, the husband of, and real-life husband, of Lucille Ball. And so when, this is a little TV history, it doesn't say this in the thing, but I remember the story of her being pregnant. They could not say the word pregnant on a sitcom. I don't know what they said, but it was basically, I don't know what you do. It's just that thing of like, it was associated with, even though they're married.
Yeah.
Like what a weird, like you talk about puritanical.
Right.
And like how
into
kind
modern
of obtrusive,
culture.
Like obtrusive and oppressive it was.
Yeah.
We can't. Like, I remember we've talked about this before, but like the two twin beds
right.
for married couples in sitcoms.
Yeah.
Like
Leave It to Beaver and stuff.
And then the first one to put the married couple in the bed together was the Munsters, which I guess they thought they could get away with because they're like, well, these are monsters.
Right.
Like, they're not really a married couple. It's cartoonic.
Yeah.
And then the Bradys did it later in color.
Interesting.
Know.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not for, to be clear.
I don't just run around saying pregnant all the time, but if someone is pregnant,
right, it's okay.
They shouldn't. It's such a strange thing to think about.
She is in a, there's a term in some of my old shows I watch where they say she's in a, it's not a compromised state, but she's in a, there's some expressions they have for that. Yeah.
That did not age well, probably.
I don't.
Because like when a girl, like if it's a unwed, she's in trouble. This girl's in trouble.
Yeah.
You know? Okay.
Yeah, not in her condition. You'll hear that.
Right.
You know, so, you know, she probably shouldn't be writing in her condition, you know. What? What condition? And then it's like, you know.
Yeah. Well, people say condition about you, but they just mean your overall mental state.
Well, and they're right.
Yeah.
I think clearly this episode has proven that. So
yeah.
I'm glad we took our 250th episode for us just to rant at the heavens.
I think we lost some people.
So
it's okay.
I don't know.
We had a good run.
Well, you know.
I think the people that love us, love us. You know what I'm saying? I feel acceptance.
Do you?
And a warmth.
You know what would give me acceptance?
Mm-mm.
Patrons.
Oh my gosh, did I tell you this? So I'm going to send our patrons this week. We're going to ship out a bunch of free gifts to our patrons because I've got my journals.
Nice.
I got a big new box of my journals that say, they're really nice, like Moleskine.
Yeah.
Journals, they're really nice. And I think there's 100 pages. But you write your own little thoughts in there. They got a little bookmark. But on the front, it says, if you can't say something nice, just write it down in here. So I've been selling those at my shows, and they're doing well. But by the way, like I said, when merch gets involved, that's when you know
that's when taking a turn.
That's when I've gone to the dark side.
Heart,
really. I'm part of the problem.
Yeah.
But all that said, I'm going to ship those out to our patrons this week. So nice. Look for that. So if you want to become a patron and get in on that gravy train.
Now's the time.
A gift of any kind.
You just go to talkaboutthatpodcast.com.
That's right. Also, all of our archived episodes are there. All 250 of them, John.
Johnny, I wouldn't have wanted to do this with anybody else. And
well,
everyone
else said no.
Yeah, they all said no. So, no, I actually really love the show and have really enjoyed the journey and the journey that's ahead. You should check out, though, my colorful co-host's other things. Colorful co-hosts and all of his many, many products, videos out
products.
There.
Sheesh. Did you know that house fires... lightning's the number one thing you don't want.
If you would like coverage through Talk About That Podcast insurance.
Hi, I'm Lightning John.
You should check him out, man, at Johnny W, JONNIEW.
Or go to John Driver on Amazon or johndriver.com. You can find out more about John's many, many literary projects and a vast catalog.
I've gotten to write with some cool people, and there's some great stories that they've let me help tell, and that's fun. You should go
pretty
read
cool.
their stories.
So. Yeah, for sure.
There actually is. We had a great meeting with, we'll just actually give a shout out to Life Audio because, man, they're awesome, and we really enjoy being partnered with them, and they have all kinds of other cool stuff on their network, lifeaudio.com, other podcasts, faith-centered things. There's fun stuff on there. You should check out lifeaudio.com, but had a great meeting with them this week, and we're talking about maybe... even adding more additional, privileges for those who are going to be patrons as we go
exclusive
forward.
Content.
Let me tell you right now. So you'll be watching for that because things are moving forward here at the podcast, and we're excited that you're a part. It really does mean a lot. Hey, send us comments. Send us. We actually got a great review the other day.
I saw that.
We're going to read that right now because we always tell you we like to read sometimes. We get multiple
reviews.
We
would like to be able to read, is what I would say.
But. Yeah, it would be nice. But I think, this one was good enough that I think we should probably say it. Like someone said, I listen to this podcast during my commute to work. It makes the long drive seem like minutes. You feel like you're just one of the guys sitting in a fun conversation. Thank you, guys. And that's from Muffs111 via Apple Podcasts.
I would like to know what the drive actually is. You know what I'm saying?
It's a
makes it feel like minutes.
Right.
How long was the drive?
It's just minutes.
It's not far. I appreciate the show anyway.
I only listen to the first.
Technically,
5 minutes.
Even if it's hours, you could still measure it in minutes and be like, it felt like minutes.
It felt like minutes, right?
It felt like 300 minutes.
That's great. Well, hey, thank you for leaving that review.
Yes.
Those reviews really help, man. Go to wherever you are listening to your podcast, especially Apple. A lot of you listen through Apple. Go and leave us a 5-star. If you're not going to leave us a 5-star, just don't do it.
Yeah, like, just stand down, sir.
Some people would say they want honest reviews. We could use more. We need encouragement.
We need help.
Yeah, help us out.
Tell us that we're doing the right thing, even if we're not.
Yeah, or don't say anything at all.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, why would you want to go... I would like this, but that guy, I think he likes it. I don't want any of that.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't like the way
I didn't even say anything. But I don't want that.
Characterize that review.
That disposition right there. So,
yeah.
Hey, guys, thank you for the time you spent with us today. We appreciate it. We'll see you next week on
Talk About That.
Hi, I'm Beckett Cook, host of The Beckett Cook Show. I lived as a gay man in Hollywood for many, many years until I had a radical encounter with Jesus 13 years ago. Since then, I've gotten my master's degree in seminary and published a book called A Change of Affection. On my podcast, The Beckett Cook Show, I sit down with fascinating Christian scholars and thinkers to address the lies of the culture and bring the biblical truth to bear on those lies. To start listening now, go to lifeaudio.com or search for The Beckett Cook Show on your favorite podcasting platform.